Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening. I just have two amazing guests this morning at different ends of the planet. One is across the pond and one is down below, so to speak. First, let's start with Dr. Mildred Olivier. She is here representing Prevent Blindness, and she's Associate Clinical Professor at Midwestern University and Associate Professor at John Stroger Jr. Hospital at Cook County and at Olympia Fields Osteopathic Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Olivier.
Good morning. Good morning from Haiti.
she is connecting with us from Haiti, and she is doing some work which we'll talk about during the show. Now, across the pond, I have another wonderful guest, Mr. David Wright. He is the CEO of the International Glaucoma Association. He's been working with them for more than 25 years. Their focus is to raise awareness about glaucoma, promote research related to early diagnosis and treatment, and to provide support to patients and all those who care for them. Good morning, Mr. Wright.
Good morning, indeed.
Let me just mention the websites. Prevent Blindness is just that, preventblindness.org. You can go to their website and learn more about the work they're doing here in the U.S. And for Mr. Wright's association, the International Glaucoma Association, it's glaucoma-association.com. Again, that's glaucoma-association.com. So, again, welcome to both of you to the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I'm having you guys on the show this morning because January here in the U.S. is Glaucoma Awareness Month, and I'm sure both of you are aware of that, but many people are not. Myself included, last year I didn't even know there was such a thing as Glaucoma Awareness Month, so I'm happy to have you on. And I have some relatives myself who are suffering from glaucoma, so it's an educational experience for me to learn more about it and to be able to support them as my relatives. But also I like to try to educate people on all types of health issues, whether it's diabetes or lupus or multiple sclerosis. Glaucoma is something that now, because of treatments that are available, is something that people can manage. So I want to make people more aware of that. I want to start with you first, Dr. Olivier. Please talk to us about what's the technical definition of glaucoma.
Well, glaucoma is a disease of the optic nerve, and the optic nerve sends the messages up to the brain. And so when somebody has glaucoma, they lose their side vision or their peripheral vision, and that's really the definition of glaucoma. And, you know, in the United States, and that'll be nice because we'll have the international perspective as well, but in the United States, glaucoma affects 2 million people, and half of which, 2 to 4 million, and half of which don't even know they have glaucoma. And so it's important for us to know sort of the risk factors. You mentioned one that was really great, family history. Anyone who has a parent or a sibling, that's a risk factor. You mentioned diabetes. Black race is more often likely to have glaucoma, 4 times more in an African-American, and they're 8 times more likely to go blind from glaucoma. You know, as we get older, the incidence of glaucoma increases, and as all of us are getting older in the United States, that is I'm going to make glaucoma specialists very, very busy. People have gotten hit in the eye or had surgery. People who are on medications like steroids or prednisone for their asthma or arthritis. And then, you know, people who are nearsighted. Lots of people are nearsighted, and so they also end up being more at risk for glaucoma. So all of this to see if we can stop that side vision or peripheral vision from going, you know, little by little.
Well, one of the key points there is we talked earlier, the three of us, about people not going to get tested. Mr. Wright, over in the UK, you said that was one of the biggest issues of people not going to get the basic screening. Talk to me about that.
Well, the reason that people don't go is they don't know anything's wrong. Now, glaucoma is known as the thief of sight. And although we're talking about the damage to the edges of the vision, the periphery of the vision, the fact of the matter is you can lose nearly half of your vision and be completely unaware of the loss. Now, that's hard to believe, but if you think about it, one eye will fill in for the other one.
Mm.
We've got a blind spot in each eye all the time. That's perfectly normal and natural, and yet none of us can see that. Even when you close one eye, you can't see it, and that's because the brain puts back in the bit that's missing. So there are no warning symptoms. You can think you have perfectly good vision, and yet you can be at serious risk of going blind. That's why people don't go. If it hurt, then I'm sure we'd lose a lot less people to blindness.
Well, now, Dr. Olivia, he's saying that there is no symptoms. What I also read, though, is that there are different types of glaucoma. You talked about losing the edges of your vision. I've read about closure glaucoma, congenital glaucoma, which children are affected by, and then secondary glaucoma, which I'm assuming is speaking with people who have diabetes or other issues, and that will be considered secondary glaucoma. Can you talk to us about the different types of glaucoma?
Yeah, and one of the things I'd like to say is, a person first has to obviously go in for that eye exam. And it's very important in that the doctor will check a vision, they'll check a pressure. But more than that is they're going to dilate the eye. They put the drops in so the pupil gets... That way we can look actually at the optic nerve itself. Also, generally, if we think the person has glaucoma, put a little special lens or mirror on there. And that'll tell us whether the angle where all that fluid gets drained, whether it's small or large. So a couple of things. One is that half people have a normal pressure and half the people have a high pressure. So the regular glaucoma that we talk about, primary open-angle glaucoma, has a high pressure associated with it. But some people will have normal tension glaucoma. There, their pressure is under 21, but their nerve looks like it's damaged. Oftentimes, we'll find that some of these people will have migraine headaches. They might have really low blood pressure, and so we'll sort of work that out. And then there are people who have secondary glaucoma, which is what you talked about. And one of the things I talked about earlier was sort of medications like prednisone. This can raise the pressure up in the eye, and that can come from something else that the person may have. And that, again, causes our sickle cell anemia, arthritis, diabetes, leukemia, or inflammation, or somebody gets hit in the eye. All of these are other forms of glaucoma. And then there's the acute angle closure glaucoma. And when you put that special mirror on, we'll see that the drainage system is not as big as it should be. It's actually very small or closed. That means there's really no place for the fluid to go. So eventually, it closes off completely. And in that type of glaucoma, that's sudden, and that has symptoms. Not like most of the glaucoma we're talking about today, but that has the symptoms. Suddenly, your eye is very painful. It's red. The pupil is very big. You might be nauseated or vomiting.
Wow.
And so for those people, we do emergency surgery. But the type of glaucoma that we most talk about, and really that affects most of the people in the United States and the world, is really, at least in the United States, is primary open-angle glaucoma, where you have no symptoms. It is that sneak thief of sight. And
yeah.
Unless you go to that doctor and you get that dilated exam, and then we look at that nerve, you really can't tell.
Mr. Wright, what are some of the problems that you find family members have in helping people who have glaucoma? Is it getting them to take their medicine? Is it getting them to do follow-ups? What are some of the biggest issues that family members seem to have in supporting people who have glaucoma?
Well, glaucoma is very much a condition that tends to affect people as they get older. Now, if you're trying to deal with very small bottles and putting drops into your eyes, which is the normal form of treatment in America and in Europe, they can be very hard to handle. So there's an issue with people who've got problems lifting their arms up, squeezing the bottles, getting the drops into your eyes, and that can be an issue, certainly. Depending on the country, price, of course, and cost of the medications can be quite a serious issue. In the UK, we're very fortunate that we have the National Health Service, so regardless of the medication prescribed, it's all the same price. But I'm aware that there's some very, very big differences in prices of different drugs, certainly in the States. So that certainly can be an issue depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, remembering to put the drops in. Now, these drops, depending on what's been prescribed, can be anything from once a day to four times a day, although four times is very rare these days. And you need to make sure that you do it absolutely routinely at the right time, because every time you miss a drop or every time you're late with a drop, a little tiny bit of damage is likely to happen. And all of the damage in glaucoma, you can never make it better. You can only stop it getting worse.
So there's no cure, Dr. Olivier, for this illness, but there is prevention and things that we can do by going to get those exams. How often should someone get an eye exam? I mean, I've heard every year, then I've heard every 2 years. And then Mr. Wright brought up the issue of insurance. Some people, insurance only pay for once a year or certain periods. But if you're diabetic, you may need to go 3 times a year. Talk to me about how often you need to go.
Such controversy in the eye world, but I would say, first of all, if we're talking about glaucoma and you have somebody in your family, no age is too young. You know, one of the things you had talked briefly about is congenital glaucoma. This happens again, not as often in babies, so their eyes will be very big and they might be tearing. They might not to be in light, but not very often. So very important once you have that family history to don't be in glaucoma. People who have diabetes, they should be seen every year by an eye care professional. Once you see that eye doc, they can sort of tell you how often you need to go. Some patients see them 3 or 4 times a year. Sometimes we just see them once a year. And if somebody's suspect, we might not see them for 2 years. But the first important step is to have to go in and see them and get that all-important dilated eye examination. And once it's the case, now the earlier we find something, the earlier it could be treated, just like Mr. Wright said, you could take those drops, maybe get some laser surgery, and that's great. You know, in the United States, if you have Medicare, you can certainly get your surgery done, and that should be covered. There are always county hospitals. There are people who are vested. They could go to the VA and get treatment for eye exams. And so certainly there are ways. There are also ways for, there is a screening called that people who have a family history can go in, and the screening is covered by insurance. So there are ways of being able to at least get screened and see if they have it.
Now, Mr. Wright, let me just, for those of you who are just tuning in, good morning, and thank you for listening to the show. If you have any questions this morning, you can call 646-929-0368, or you can log on to the show and ask me a question through the chat room. Again, for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with Dr. Olivier. She's in Haiti, and Mr. David Wright, he's the CEO of the International Glaucoma Association in the UK, and their website, Dr. Olivier is here representing Prevent Blindness organization. Their website is preventblindness.org. And Mr. Wright is here, again, representing the International Glaucoma Association. Their website address is glaucoma-association.com. Now, Mr. Wright, we've been talking a lot about the individual and the family and prevention and treatment. What about the treatment? You offer research grants for that side, that audience, for doctors and scientists and professors. How can someone apply for one of the research grants?
Well, the research grants, we have several different grants that are available to different types of glaucoma professional. So yes, we do have grants for ophthalmologists and for research scientists. We spend about £100,000, £150,000 through the Royal College of Ophthalmologists in London. They're advertised, they're international grants, but they're advertised through the Royal College. And any ophthalmologist or any team of ophthalmologists are welcome to apply. That happens once a year. We also work through the UK and Air and Glaucoma Society, and that's a £50,000 grant. And then we also have grants for nurses and for optometrists. Now, they tend to be much more patient-focused types of research, more quality-of-life types of research. But that's vitally important if you have the condition. It's all very well dealing with the most complicated blue sky type of science, but it's also very important that we manage the glaucoma effectively. We were talking a little bit earlier about the frequency of how often you need to see the eye doctor. And this is something we've been working on with one of the professors at Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. His name's Mr. Viswanathan, or Professor Viswanathan. And he's been doing some very important work looking at how frequently you need to have your field of vision checked in the early stages of glaucoma. So when you're first diagnosed, you're going to need to see the eye doctor much more often than you are at a later stage once we've established it, controlled it, and we know that you're reasonably stable.
Right.
It's a variable thing. It's one of these things that changes throughout life, and you do have glaucoma for life.
Now, Dr. Olivier, you are all the way in Haiti. What are you doing in Haiti? Please talk to us about that.
Well, I've been coming to Haiti since 1993 on missionary trips, and I've been glaucoma patients currently, although a lot of patients.
Okay, wait a bit. We're losing you a little bit.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So, unfortunately, I've been coming since 1993, and unfortunately, in Haiti, glaucoma affects individuals much younger, and it's a much more aggressive type of glaucoma. So, I've been coming here to see the patients and do surgery on them who need, and teach the Haitian ophthalmologist how to do some of the newer procedures and things like that. I came right after the earthquake last year again, and my role there was very different because my parents are from Haiti, so I also speak the language, and I'm able to communicate with the patients here. So right now I'm in a clinic in Haiti, and we're doing some genetic samples. We were talking about research earlier, because there are lots of families who, a lot of people in the family have glaucoma, so we're collecting that to see if we can actually find perhaps why certain families have it, if there's a genetic predisposition, and so that's what I'm doing now with one of my residents from Cook County Hospital in Chicago, and one of my nurses, Astrid, from Northwest Community Hospital as well.
How many people are down altogether in your group?
There is about 15 of us. There's about, at the hospital I'm at, there's about 20 people who left this morning. And the IT now, we have about 20 people with us. We have nurses and ophthalmologists and people who are just there to help and screen and transport. And then, so it's a fairly large team. We usually also come with anesthesiologists as well. So we've got a large team of people, and we've been coming for a long time. I'm actually in the north, which is Cape Haitian. Port-au-Prince is where the earthquake occurred, and so on Tuesday I'll be going back to Port-au-Prince to see how things are. Here where I am, the earthquake did not damage the area, but a lot of people came after the earthquake because virtually there was, you know, all those tent cities and destruction in Port-au-Prince. So, you know, but I will be going to the earthquake area, and unfortunately lots of things are still the same even 1 year later there. But I focus on eye care now as things are getting, hopefully, you know, starting to take a turn mm-hmm. for the better.
Now, Mr. Wright, over there, are you doing any excursions to other countries outside the UK with the International Glaucoma Association?
Well, we're a relatively small organization in the number of people we have, but we have quite a large reach, and if people have a look at that website, they'll find complete websites in English, in American, of course, but also in Italian, French, Spanish, and German. So we've chosen those languages because they're the most widely spoken languages around the world,
mm-hmm.
and the important thing is that people who have glaucoma understand their condition well. We know for a fact that the better people understand their condition, the better their long-term prognosis is going to be. So we try to make sure our patient information is available to as many people as possible across the world. We've helped start a number of other associations around the world, and we continue to do that. But we don't try to impose the way we do things on other countries, because every country has their own way of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are having... sorry, Dr. Olivier, let me just talk to him about... He's doing a 2011 Janice Kushner Memorial Lecture. Can you talk to us a little bit about that lecture series?
Yes, those are an annual lecture. And those, they're always held in London. And we have people from all over the world over the years who give a patient-based update on glaucoma. We'll pick a particular topic that's of interest. And we have the meeting itself, where the lecture is given. We have questions and answers afterwards. But most importantly, that's then published, both the lecture itself and all of the questions and answers, so that people from anywhere can gain that information, whether or not they're able to get to the meeting.
Dr. Olivier, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to sort of say some of the same things that Mr. Wright was saying, and that Prevent Blindness America also has some great educational, and I can't say how important it is to really educate the public as to what glaucoma is like and why they should go in and get their eyes tested. A lot of our affiliates are there across the United States doing those screenings. You might see a prevent blindness screening. It's a great opportunity to go there and get your eyes tested, you know, screened, so that they can, you know, let you know if, you know, you should go right away to see an eye doctor for what they might find. So prevent blindness is a great way, and they've been doing a lot of that education and screening, what, you know, we think is so important.
Well, I just want to mention again, thank you so much for both of you participating this morning in this call. I think it's an important educational experience for many people who are not familiar with glaucoma. I mean, I myself was not even familiar. There was like 5 different types of glaucoma, and the issue of their different types of treatments, the drops and all those types of things. I think it's so important. So I applaud both of you for the wonderful work that you're doing. Again, for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with Dr. Mildred in Haiti right now, and I'm speaking with Mr. David Wright, who's in the UK. Both of them are advocates for teaching people about eye care and particularly glaucoma awareness. Dr. Olivier is here representing PreventBlindness.org, which is an American-based organization. Their website is PreventBlindness.org. And Mr. David Wright is the CEO of the International Glaucoma Association, and their website is glaucoma-association.com. So, again, thank you so much to both of you. Now, in the coming year, do you see any new research popping up, Mr. Wright, new treatments that might be available for people?
Well, there are several new treatments. One of the interesting developments that's underway is a contact lens that will measure the pressure inside the eye constantly over a period of time, and via what is effectively a Bluetooth link, will download that so that the doctor can understand exactly what's happening. Normal pressures in the body go up and down all the time, blood pressure, eye pressure, all the others. But particularly with normal tension glaucoma, the lower pressure version, what we don't know is whether there's a spike that occurs at some particular time of the day. Now, up until this came in, or is becoming available, all we could do was to measure the pressures repeatedly. That was a process known as phasing, or take a pressure whenever you were seen, and that's like a snapshot.
Okay.
So understanding exactly what happens to the pressures over the 24-hour period and maybe over a period of weeks, that's going to be very useful. The other big steps forward are if we're looking at the surgery, and particularly for these more aggressive forms of glaucoma that have been described today, one of the bigger problems with the surgery in the past was the surgical safety valve, for want of a better word, tended to heal over. And there are now drugs that we use at the time of surgery and can also be used after surgery to prevent that healing response, which means surgery is far more effective than it used to be. So these are important steps forward. Genetics is always an important subject. We've been funding genetic research for the last 15 years, and of course that's an ongoing process. For the very young, for the children's form of glaucoma, that story is pretty much established now. But for the adult forms of glaucoma, there's still an awful lot of work to be done, and it's vital work.
And Dr. Olivier, I'm sorry, Mr. Wright, I just want to bring Dr. Olivier. We only have a couple of minutes left. Dr. Olivier, do you have anything to add to some new research or opportunities that are going to be available, you think, in 2011 or even in the next 5 years for people who are suffering with glaucoma?
Well, I would say that what we have really expanded after we did the medication thing is really surgery. We have lots of different surgeries now that we are doing for glaucoma, and like trabectome or fresh shunts, and so there's ECP. There's a lot of things that we're doing now for surgery-wise. But I think, you know, just like Mr. Wright said, it's always really good to keep pushing the research, find ways that we can make things better, find ways that we could do our surgery better. We use chemo drugs to increase our success rate. Maybe there's another drug out there. So there's lots of people trying to find out if we can figure out the compliance. You know, is the patient taking their medications correctly and how often, and is it effective? And ultimately, we just want to lower that pressure to the point where that person has no more damage and their vision remains the same until the end of their life.
So the key from today's show, I think, is getting your checkups as often as you are able to. And in America, we have issues with insurance, but there are a lot of free clinics across this country, and preventblindness.org can help you connect with different organizations within your state. In the UK, the issue is not insurance, but the issue is just motivation of people going to get checked, because this illness, it sneaks up on you. And as Mr. Wright said, there's no symptoms that you may be aware of, because your brain is compensating, or the other eye is compensating for your vision, and you think, oh, I'm fine. In actuality, you're not. So please, if you're listening to the show, if you have friends, family, even if you're young, and I say young, you know, 30s, and you're, you know, living your life and thinking nothing's wrong, please go get your eyes checked out this year. Make that part of your New Year's resolution to get your eyes checked out. I want to thank both of you so much for participating this morning, Dr. Olivier and Mr. Wright. Thank you so much, and please continue your wonderful work helping people with their eyes. I hope you have a safe trip, Dr. Olivier.
Thank you, Joy, and thank you for educating everyone.
And Mr. Wright, thank you so much, and I wish you much success with your International Glaucoma Association.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, you both have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.